We're here at PodTech New York City trip at the IBM crowd here. We got the Shortcuts. We got George Faulkner, Christopher Barger, and all the new guys. Why don't we go around and introduce yourselves?
I'm Tim Washer, right for the mainframe business and communications.
I'm Christopher Barger. I've been working on blogging and podcasting for IBM, and I'm about to start working on video casting.
All right. You can just hold it right there like that.
Pull some drinks over.
All right. Get the beers.
I'm Scott Lanningham, and I'm a podcast producer for DeveloperWorks.
Great voice there, podcaster voice.
I'm Derek Baker, and I'm executive editor of the IBM.com homepage.
All right.
Chris Luongo. I work in Software Group and do a podcast called How It Works.
George Faulkner, Shortcuts.
Ben Edwards, Corporate Communications. I try and keep all these guys in order.
Jennifer Clemente, the one female podcaster at IBM. Where are you, ladies?
Are you?
I am the co-hostess of Shortcuts, and I'm with IBM Lotus.
So this is the IBM Brain Trust for podcasting. So what's on the horizon? What's coming up? Shortcuts is great. DeveloperWorks has got a ton of podcasts. The famous Tim Berners-Lee podcast is flying around the net like crazy. A lot of controversy. Good discussion. Ben, what's new?
Well, John, you know, as Chris said, we're really keen to move into video at the moment and work out how we can do it in a cost-effective manner, right? I mean, that's our mantra here at IBM is we want to cheap, as Derek says. Inexpensive, I think, is the word you use, Derek. Inexpensive.
Watch out, YouTube video and MySpace.
And produce, you know, reasonable quality video and do it quickly and get it out there. Because, you know, we've just been watching the explosion of video content this year. You know, the YouTube phenomenon and Zay Frank and other vloggers who are getting a lot of traction. And so, you know, we want to innovate around that, too.
We're launching our PodTech's launching on Monday, our video site. So Robert Scoble's going to kick off with video, and then we got a couple of video shows coming out, and we're going to start producing our own video, like shows, like TV sitcom-type shows, geek entertainment-type stuff, and try to tie in some of the knowledge podcasts that you guys are doing and some of the how-tos and, you know, get the more of the shows over here and then get, you know, out there mainstream, like the Shortcuts, just like a radio program. It's kind of like the global show. And then like these just informational podcasts. So we've had a lot of success with our content formula, which is based upon internally we call it EI squared, which is like the ideal elements to have in all podcasts. Would be like the three things that we'd love to have in every podcast, which is E for entertainment, and then I for information, and the other I's for inspiration. So mm-hmm. We try to weave in at least two of those elements and, you know, share some knowledge. And if it's you can get entertainment, that always is a great way to do it. And so
talk to Tim.
Yeah, I was just about to say, I just want to pass this over to Tim to talk about the E bit, because Tim is our E in our secret sauce here. So.
We have the executive editor of IBM.com, so we have full IBM support by his silence over there, so we have all the IBM integration into the homepage immediately. No comment? Okay.
Off the record.
So what's happening?
Well, we're following the EI program with what we call the EIEIO. Program, which has been we're rolling out, and there's a knowledge program. So what we're delivering in the mainframe group is anti-knowledge. We just put up on we did our first experiment on YouTube, and we did a mainframe meets the office spoof, which is a trilogy of short videos that is just that. And so we got the vice president of sales, a guy named Bob Hoey, and we call this the art of the sale. Up on YouTube, and it's doing pretty well. We launched it about 3 weeks ago, and we have across the three videos, we have about 80,000 hits so far.
Nice.
So it's going, and it's, you know, it's just the entertainment piece.
Absolutely.
You know, it's just to have fun, and we mentioned the mainframe in there, you know, but that's it.
The audience loves it. I mean, the big article in the New York Times, I don't know if you guys saw that last week, the brand of entertainment, Budweiser is going to do Bud.tv, mm-hmm. and they're just going to start franchising out their own content. Sprint is starting their own content network for the phones. So there's a huge opportunity to push content out to these whole new platforms in a new way. And I just think that's the way to go, because you get the attention of the users, right?
Right.
With that. So you're not really selling anything, but inherently it's a subliminal, you know, get their attention. And then here's some other podcasts you may want to enjoy.
Right. Exactly.
Anything else new coming out that we get on the record? Christopher?
Well, I get the privilege of working with Tim. and it really is, because I love the series that they put up, so I'm really looking forward to this. We are beginning production. Am I allowed to talk about this yet? Okay. We are beginning production.
We got a scoop here, exclusive.
Here's your exclusive.
I flew to New York
to
track you guys down. I've been getting all your phone records, okay, and I've been coordinating. And I said, hey, I'm in the neighborhood.
Pre-texted
you everybody and knew you'd be here at this time. Just happened to be in New York.
John, we'll need your all your listeners to sign an NDA and fax it to legal, IBM Legal.
All right, thanks. We are going to start. Tim and I will be working on producing the first external IBM video cast or vlog. We have a number of different ideas in mind. Literally, it's just at conception stage right now, but we do hope to have something that we can launch fourth quarter of this year. And I realize that I just set the bar, and now I have to do it.
Which
is probably a good thing.
We will launch something.
An IBM video cast. That follows that sort of entertaining and informing at the same time philosophy, and we'll be doing that in the next couple months.
Well, we should invite you guys out for our November 4th event in San Francisco called the Vloggies. This is Video Blog Awards, and it's the first annual. We're kind of bootstrapping it up and just kind of get the community excited. It's really, awards is kind of, it's really maybe too early for awards, but really more of a celebration. Get the community, because there's a real video blogger community that's developing kind of real time, and we just want to put some kind of structure around it. So that's on November 4th. If you're in San Francisco, the Vloggies, and it's going to be at the we're going to have an event at the American Swedish Hall, and then we're going to have the bar till 2 a.m. after, especially at the party. And we're going to be giving awards. So Frank will be there, and Rocket Boom will be there. So if you guys want to maybe launch then, you know, and do a sneak preview, November 4th. That's Q4.
Yeah, that's Q4. That
now,
works.
Now you're going to come back and say, I'm in fiscal Q4. Whatever that is.
It's the same.
Okay.
Actually, it's in 2 weeks. It's Q4, so you got to get busy.
I didn't say at the beginning of Q4.
Okay.
So how's the IBM.com culture going? Because IBM has had the best website on the planet. You guys have powered sports sites, the Olympics. I just noticed the U.S. Open. Mm-hmm. You guys had powered that. And they actually had podcasts on there. We're podcasting the events or capturing some of the audio there. And IBM 1.0 is all about the website. How's the new IBM website and things
What's
coming along?
Web 2.0 mean for IBM.com? Ben, you want to feel that? No? Wait. It's interesting. What we're finding on IBM.com is that the more popular, it's whether it involves a podcast or not, the more popular things that we run there are really what tells a story. I mean, in our case, it's a nonfiction story, right? Or it's a business story. It's a technology story. It might be a socially relevant story. And we're doing a lot combining a podcast that's available as part of a flash presentation, maybe with some visual display, and then we're also going to publish that out, just the audio out on iTunes or whatever. By contrast, when we run sort of the standard promotional stuff, just by numbers, doesn't do as well. What people would consider quote-unquote advertising doesn't really perform the way you would think it would, because people have thought of their home pages for corporations as the brochureware, basically online advertising, and that's not how people really primarily want to use the online medium anymore.
Yeah, you got to push it to them out there.
Right. Make it something that they, and we recognize, especially for our homepage, is they're generally coming there for some other purpose. They're probably not coming there to say, I wonder what interesting content that IBM was providing this week or
today. What's IBM's coverage of the war in Iraq today?
Exactly. They're not asking that question.
So service-oriented architectures. Oh, I think I'll be all over that.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's exactly. Over there in Baghdad. But we are essentially interrupting them from a task or somewhere they're trying to get to on our site, and so we're grateful for every eyeball and what do we call them before, earballs?
Earballs.
that we can
don't
we
say furball, because that's my nickname.
Yeah.
All right, that was my nickname in high school and I hated it.
Exactly.
All you listeners out there.
You realize how many emails you're going to get now?
I know. Yeah, it's terrible.
So you've got eight podcasters here from IBM, and I think I was just saying to Chris, one question I would want to ask you, just as pure technical advice, which seems to be the biggest question, is what do you do for phone interviews, recording of phone interviews. What do you do?
Well, there's a couple of things. One of the things we haven't done yet mainly is because we've been so focused on the time shift aspect of the on-demand. And we've purposely have not gone out and tried to compete with real-time communications out in the real world, real-time news cycles or real-time information cycles. So we're not doing the old call-in radio show idea because it's just too much to manage and resource-wise set up. But we do now extensively take advantage of remote call-ins. So Ben was on a podcast with our PodTech news team, and we have a Telos box connects to a phone line, and we just go out direct, and we have a nice microphone, and we just connect up and turn on this sound device connected to the mixer and off and running. It's a piece of cake. So that's kind of the standalone single call solution. So for multi-calls, where in essence you want to just kind of bridge people together in kind of a panel discussion or conversation, multiple phone lines into a multi-port box, which is a little bit more elaborate, but still not that expensive. I mean, it's pretty, using POTS telephone lines or plain old telephone system, you can get radio station kind of quality, and then we just capture the audio there. Then we bring it in and we mix it with either mostly Adobe Audition and or on Mac with Pro Tools and the GarageBand, whatever we want to do. But so that's been the straightforward way, and it's been very straightforward. So capturing that way. The new thing that's interesting technically is that photos have been really working well with the podcast. So because the iPod is someone maybe running or holding it, still images with voice really work well together. So, you know, like on CNBC, when you see a story and you see the stock graph and while they're talking and you just picture that, that's kind of the model that we see where you tell a storyboard with the audio and kind of indexing it out that way.
It's funny you mention that because the reason we're all here together today was we were just doing a photo shoot. So
you guys look good. Yeah, I wish I had my video camera.
That's why Chris Barger's wearing makeup. He doesn't normally, we think.
I heard that's trendy in New York right now.
Just get it on the airplane.
DeveloperWorks, you guys are the best kept secret out there with all those great podcasts. What's
I was excited about getting together with all these people to you know, share thoughts about what we're doing and one of the things that we're trying to do is just be consistent right now with having compelling content and reach beyond just the IBM world of experts. And there's so many great people to talk to within IBM. But we're trying to reach out, like you mentioned, Tim Berners-Lee. You know, I think the excitement that surrounded that one provocative statement he made about Web 2.0 kind of led us to
get the blogosphere in a tizzy, that's for sure.
Oh, didn't it, though? And
what is Web 2.0? That's the question everyone wants to know.
He said, it's jargon, baby. It's jargon. We didn't say baby, but he said jargon. But if he'd said baby, it would have even been cooler. But we certainly want to achieve more of that. So we're spending a lot of time right now thinking, you know, weeks and months ahead, who can we get into the pipeline? And we really want to be the Charlie Rose of the software development community, you know, in one sense of the word. And then in the other sense, we're really doing a lot of thinking about how do we get more of that other E, you know, the entertainment part you're talking about into it, too, because I think that's critical if we're going to differentiate ourselves from all of those out there.
Well, I mean, I think it's what's so fascinating is you guys have done such a great job. I mean, IBM is just it's its own CNN. It's got a ton of content, got great people, and you have your own media company developing. It was a year ago, George, Ben, and Christopher, we were talking about podcasting. All the blogging was the big thing, but look at how, you know, a year, you got the whole brain trust here, the podcast. This is probably the podcasting group, right? I mean, or if you will, right? I mean, this is like, is there anyone, there's a lot of people out there doing it, but you guys.
With a big tip of the hat to DeveloperWorks, because these guys were doing it before we really dove in, and, you know, we used them as an example. And really were looking at what they were doing, and not just in podcasting, but in terms of other applications that they were using to make their site an interactive and interesting experience. I mean, you guys really were ahead of the curve there, Scott.
The DeveloperWorks is, and the tech-savvy crowd is mainly at the developer and the early adopter, and they, you know, they want to know more about the open source stuff and the people behind it. Because in a way, it's like they all want to work on projects that are going to be relevant. No one wants to work on an open source project, for example, that's open but no one's working on. So podcasting is a great way to kind of communicate kind of, you know, events and happenings in that. How are you guys looking at the third party? So if you're going to be the Charlie Rose and you got to kind of go beyond IBM, so is it brand entertainment? Obviously having the site side, is it more programs like Shortcuts? Is it, you know, the DeveloperWorks? I mean, you guys do a lot of great, narrow knowledge content. Is there more of a community feel?
Well, it's interesting. When we started with Shortcuts, we really relied on, you know, IBM's most consumer-facing brand, which is Lotus, which has, you know, Same Time and Lotus Notes. And now we're really expanding to include, you know, we're looking at including our third parties. And, you know, we have a huge partner ecosystem to rely on. I mean, we have, like, Nokia, and we have, like, Cisco. We have all these amazing partners who really have a huge wealth of resources that we're going to really bring in to help answer, you know, the average, you know, user's question about, you know, what's the best mobile solution for, you know, when I'm in Afghanistan or something. and you know, anything that comes up, we really have the reach and the breadth to really answer pretty much anything that is challenging anybody out there in the tech world. So I think we're really poised well. As you said, we're like the CNN. We're almost like the CNN. And yeah. I'm like, wow.
You are.
And
yeah,
I sort of really, yeah, we are. And we need to.
The mic on in the toilet.
Yeah, so I'm really excited to really demonstrate to the listener audience that we're not Pravda, you know, it's not like the voice of the corporation. We really are truly, we can be vendor agnostic. And I remember when I used to actually work with DeveloperWorks, and that was really kind of the mandate, to be sort of vendor agnostic. And I really saw that gain so much credibility among the developer audience, and I think we can really learn from that. We are sort of adopting that philosophy, at least with Shortcuts.
So we're here just in New York in the courtyard of between 49th Street, between 8th and 9th. A little cloudy today, but no jacket required. Thank God, because I didn't bring one from California. But so what's next besides the video? I mean, what's the vision? Is the adoption internally strong? And you guys have built some tools. We were talking last time, DeveloperWorks is booming on the podcasting front. So there's a lot more content coming. And how do you see that?
Yeah, we have, it's another advantage of being a technology company. It's not just that we have a lot of, you know, early adopters, but we have people who want to build us tools. They actually want to go out their way to build us great tools to use. And we have some fantastic tools inside IBM. We were just talking about this today, about how we...
License it to PodTech. No.
Well, that too, John.
I'll trade my sound devices for the license in perpetuity.
All right, we'll take your sound. We'll take your sound box.
You would have just taken the T-shirt.
Yeah, the T-shirt's fine.
It's the pod box.
So those tools are getting a lot of traction. We have a great internal podcast publishing tool. I was talking with your news team about that, and, you know, sent them some clips and stuff, and they made a great show. And I thought captured some of the things that are going on internally. You know, we're getting close to 700,000 downloads on that tool over since October 2005 when it was launched. And we were just talking today about how we can use that tool to discover great talent inside IBM and then encourage them to go out with their talent and, you know, bring their voices and bring their message out to the world.
Cool.
So, you know, it's really going to help us moving
forward.
How's
the groundswell within IBM? Because last time we chatted, there was a lot of grassroots participatory model. And not Jane Grun and I did a podcast in San Jose. And just the feedback was that a lot of people wanted a podcast. How are you guys getting your arms around that? Is there a firewall now? Is there policies? Or
We have the blogging guidelines also cover podcasting. They cover wikis. In fact, they cover all forms of web publishing. So we have this great set of blogging guidelines. They're very, very thoughtful, and they're very liberal when it comes to content. We basically step out of the way of regulating content. We're encouraging you as an IBMer to create content. We ask you to abide by our business conduct guidelines, which govern all forms of
Don't
business
think
communication.
Stupid.
Right, exactly.
Oh, you'd be
Pretty
fired.
Exactly. That's exactly right. So what we're saying is we're not going to check, we're not going to regulate, we're not going to micromanage.
Good judgment.
But we want you to abide by the guidelines which apply to all other forms of communication, be sensible, you know, and here are a few other things you can think about. And that's worked very, very well.
Yeah, and just to point out, it's been a very organic sort of experience, right? The way that we launched podcasting internally was in an effort to, you know, we didn't promote it very heavily. We did set up all of the tools to enable all the employees to get involved and create and publish if they wanted to. We haven't been pushing it really hard. And people, and when Ben talks about the download numbers, you know, if you think about 320,000 employees and 200,000 total downloads, it's really because we're not really forcing it on people. We want this organic growth. And every now and then, somebody rises up through the tools that they've been given, and they come up with some brilliant, brilliant
talent,
show.
New content, yeah.
Which leads me to Chris Luongo, who came up with a program called How It Works that you can find on IBM.com on the homepage every now and then.
Chris, so tell us about this.
Oh, and there'll be a new one coming out next week, and I'll let Chris tell you about the show.
So, yeah, that's like the podcasting credo. Talent rises up, fresh voices, and, you know, word-of-mouth networks, quality always wins because it runs harder and faster. And
no, that's right, and How It Works started as something I wrote and used pen and ink drawings for, so it was no sound. And in fact, I don't really like talking that much. I don't talk that much in my regular life. The idea of turning it into audio meant I was giving up the drawings, which a lot of people really liked. So I was, if I can't use drawings, how can I translate that into an audio experience? And so How It Works is very simple, of telling stories about technology and customers and using analogies and storytelling and mixing in little sounds and music. And sometimes my bass guitar gets thrown in there. And what excites me about it is people using it, people talking about taking it into schools and using it for educational purposes. Maybe people would be excited about technology, or the Genographic Project is the one that's going up next week. And then for internally, salespeople commenting that they finally understand what SOA means or something.
After 3 years of studying all the manuals and all the sales literature.
But
I get it now. We sell it to customers and they like it. Good.
But for me, you know, for me, podcast is still about the written word and writing a good story. And I love the way words sound coming out of people's mouths. And the group here, what I like about each of them is it has this different sound. Just like when I listen to sports radio in New York, I get excited about Vinny from Queens and the sound his voice makes. And I think... Yeah. But I think if you write words the right way and tell them, I'm influenced by Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood and the sound of his voice and all kinds of stuff.
Not the sweater then, you know, it's the sound.
I'd love people to hear how it works on the playground.
You know. Yeah, I mean, storytelling is interesting. I mean, that's how they communicated, you know, before there was any kind of
This is what podcasting is all about, John. It's storytelling and it's passion, right? You hear it in the voice. You don't get to see the face. You don't get to see the person. And if you can hear the passion in their voice, and if they really know what they're talking about, and if they do it, you know, in a compelling way, you've got a winning
formula. Yeah, I mean, it's relationship, too. I mean, you can convey things in the voices that are you can't get in text. I mean, it's the classic flame mail that people take out of context because someone was in a hurry. What, were you angry at me? But with voices, you can really hear it. And like Vinny in Queens, you can really get a sense he's being sarcastic or he's being funny. And there's an intimacy, there's like a relationship, and podcasting is so effective that way. I mean, that's to me the relationship.
I see it as the next media revolution. I mean, I really became fascinated by the fall of the Berlin Wall and the whole turn of events in Eastern Europe that was really spurred by the shortwave revolution in Romania, and basically hearing, like, you know, broadcasters saying, like, you know, the revolution has begun, rise up. And that, you know, translated into, that's communication, and that really got people, you know, enthused, and it's just spread through the internet, and the internet, you know, was all text for a while, and I was in Belgrade during the revolution when they were trying to, like, get the news out, and then, like, the West caught on, and so now it's, like, podcasting, so, like, imagine what that can do on a political level.
Well, last year, this time, we just had some angel financing, we've gotten some venture capital since then, and really, it is a revolution because a couple things, like the example with the storytelling rising up, new faces, new ideas, new brands are emerging. So PodTech's kind of a new brand in a way. And we just launched PodTech India on Saturday, and we now have 5 of the top bloggers in India who are affiliated with PodTech, and they're producing podcasts and blogging. So we've added blogging to our component mainly as a compatibility mode because, you know, not only is it a revolution to get great content and new voices and ideas out and competing on their own, but the blogosphere has turned into an e-pinions because the blogosphere is a major component with RSS. So we found a nice relationship between how that creates the community or the water cooler environment. So if you're going to hold a story, you might as well have some people kind of commenting and threading through that. So I think you're going to see new people, new personalities, new shows, and And yeah, I think cable is probably most vulnerable in my mind.
I was just going to say, like, I've never owned a television, and there's a reason for that. I've always been an internet-based news junkie, and there is a reason, and now there's a reason I'm in podcasting as a former journalist, and I see all of that. So, like, how do the networks respond? How does the traditional media respond to that?
Well, I think mainstream media, so we haven't announced this yet, so I really can't talk about it, but we're going to do a big announcement next quarter. but we're going to start doing things a little bit different along the entertainment side. So we see PodTech and what you guys are doing to do edgy stuff, because there's two versions. So you get Terrell Owens on Barbara Walters, you know, he's going to talk about things, and, you know, he may want to talk about, say, you know, homosexuality, right, in the locker room, which is a topic that he's talked about. Well, of course, they'll cut out all his edgy stuff, but, you know, when they say cut, well, let's do the HBO version now. He can talk about it. So what you're going to see is that edgy stuff translate into an environment where it's comfortable. So you'll see more diverse communications, and we're going to start doing political stuff. We've already started doing that, and sports and entertainment content, some Hollywood stuff. We're going to do some Hollywood things this quarter. We're going to announce, and then Q1 of next year, to see some crazy things happening with PodTech around video. Video screams around the net much faster. The audio is very intimate, and so it's exciting. So they're not mutually exclusive. They blend together. But it's just harder to do podcasting than blogging, and it's harder to do video than podcasting. So, you know, we've dabbled in there.
From experience, that's absolutely true. You know, you sit down, or when I sit down to blog, either internally or externally, I don't even really think about, you know, I just have an idea, and now I'm going to sit and write stream of consciousness. When you're doing a podcast, you think it out a little bit more. You don't really script it, but you know where you're going to go. You do a little bit of prep. You write an intro. With the video, you know, the world we're learning now, it takes a lot more thought. Even if you're going to be spontaneous when the camera is on, you've got to do a lot more planning ahead.
Camera angles, editing.
Right. And just the structure of the content that you're going to put.
I'm a journalist by profession. It's my background, and I'm it's always interesting to see kind of how the new media sort of deals with the old guard, you know. And I'm wondering how much you rely on journalists, trained journalists, people with journalism backgrounds, as opposed to, you know, sort of like your backgrounds with your staff, or that you're sort of learning on the fly. Do you consult with journalists, like? Podcasting, how much does it sort of play by the old journalistic rules?
I think to some degree, not as much as people think that we do. We have some people who have done some professional journalism, mainly on the audio side and NPR. But I think there's some sound principles of quality, right? So to me, it's about quality, and then how it sounds is good. So, like, you know, if you see a show like Sex and the City, because we're in New York, it was a good show and it looked good. They did a good job on both, right? So to me, you know, that's kind of where we are now. The content's got to be good, and then it can sound good or look good. So on the principles of journalism, I think there's a new code kind of developing where quality becomes kind of the acid test. Like, for example, like, we were just at Seagate, which is a client of ours, and they're doing a lot of social media stuff. They gave us 2 500-gig drives because we needed for our video editing. We were about to go buy some. And they're like, oh, just take a few. I'm like, they're like, can you take them? I'm like, yeah, we can take them. We'll test them. We'll give it back, maybe. No, okay, I don't know. I mean, like,
yeah. Ethics down the drain, people.
Jonathan Schwartz gave us a thumper box. It's like, you know, $30,000 server. Like, oh, okay, you know.
But it's a different game.
You can't buy us. You know, so, I mean, we'll take the free gear.
So should the fifth column be threatened?
Get to a mainframe.
Should the New York Times be threatened? Should the fifth column be threatened by podcasting and new media?
I don't think so. I think the New York Times, big brands will thrive, because what I'm seeing is it's the periphery brands, right? I think they'll lose some momentum, but they'll change. The New York Times is such a solid brand. People want to associate with brands that they know and trust. And that's why I'm so hardcore on some of the corporate stuff, because, like, what you guys do, such brand recognition. When people are consuming in the cloud, there's an untrustful environment, because it's just so early. It's like, who do you trust? Is this blogger good? There's a lot of bloggers, quite frankly, shooting from the hip, who are inaccurate, don't do their fact-checking, and the rumors are circulating, and it's turning into a credible conjecture. And so what's happening, though, in the blogosphere is that bloggers are getting a track record of quality. So what's happening is you're seeing authoritativeness start to develop in the blogosphere as word of mouth. So like a storytelling example, which I think is a really good story, people are following the blog authoritative nodes. So if I go to Robert Scoble's blog, I know he's not writing for the New York Times, but he's passionate, and I know sometimes he shoots off the hip. He went off on the HP hard and about the whole thing, and he, you know, New York Times never would have done that. They wrote the by the book story. Right. He was like he was more critical in a candid way, and you know, and so people get used to that and they adjust to it. So I think people tend to sense it, and then they look for peer review. So linkage becomes more of a gesture, if you will. And so we're starting to see a whole new way of consumption where if I say, you know, what's that famous line from Donnie Brasco? He's a friend of ours or a friend of mine. You know, in the blogosphere, there's an association model going on, and that's developing as a filter.
Right. This is sort of a apropos to the storytelling element, and, you know, it doesn't really have anything to do with what we're doing. I'm just curious as to your thoughts. What do you make of the whole Lonely Girl 15 phenomenon and how that's played out? And what they were trying to do, I guess, you know, demonstrating the power of the storytelling model within this medium. What do you think?
Well, I think the story was she's not that lonely, or you know, how it worked out anymore. But I think you're going to see a lot of stuff. YouTube has shown that you're going to see someone singing in their hairbrush in Japan is going to get zillions of hits, or something fluky is going to come out. You see a lot of one-trick ponies, right. I think, come out of the YouTube culture. And at the end of the day, it's going to be a sustainable franchise. So you're going to see. I think you're going to start to see a lot of stuff just come out of the woodwork and go, wow, it's a spot trend. And because of the flash mobbing and the kind of the massive velocity of aggregation, you're going to see things just emerge and go, wow, that's cool. And it's going to create a train wreck or curiosity factor. And whether it's something terrible or something good, and then over time, that'll either form a community, and that community will go. So, you know, my view is, and this is what I'm so passionate about putting media out there, is that you never know what's going to run. Sometimes a fire can get started with one match, and you don't really know. And if the conditions are there with, like, blogosphere, then you're going to get it.
But they did demonstrate, I mean, you don't know what's going to take off or what that match is going to be, but I think the whole thing demonstrated that storytelling done creatively, done passionately, done well, can take off. This medium, you know, they've proved the medium at this point, I thought.
Absolutely. People want to have a relationship. I was really down on the whole 30, 45-minute podcast, but I'm getting more and more feedback from people that it's the Stairmaster session, or it's the jog, or...
It's American Life. This, like, people love that format.
They love that format, and...
Storytelling.
So they're, taking chances is a good thing. Right. I think taking chances is the way to do it, and... throw stuff out there and see what runs and move and shut down or and make adjustments and you'll see pretty quickly by the downloads and that's, I think, the key. All right, any look at this. This is like the brain trust. We got 30 minutes. It's the longest podcast I've ever done.
Well, no, Stairmaster. Here we go.
We're here at the IBM Group. Guys, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jack. All right.